Got your tape ready to go? Okay. I will call to order the meeting of the Story County Drainage Trustees for this meeting tonight on March 29th, 2011. The purpose of this meeting is to listen to options for Warren 11 from Fox Engineering based upon our previous meeting in which it was a clear directive given that members of the landowners and property owners in that particular area wanted some time to look at what options they might have if indeed consideration for dissolving the district was something that they wanted to consider, and this would give them time to seek out the necessary petitions and so forth. And in the meantime, we've had opportunities as trustees to visit with Scott Renault, the engineer on this project, as well as our county engineer, Darren Moon. And tonight, our purpose is to present some options that Scott has put together. And I think those of you that have the agendas there, we will try to just go through this agenda as presented. And I think there will be an opportunity here tonight to allow any members of the audience to comment on questions that you hear this evening and direct comments before the board takes any final action this evening. So rest assured that we are not in the business of trying to rush something through on you. We want to make sure that we do due diligence to provide the best solution to the challenges that are before us and before you, and to give ample time to basically do so. So with that, I would ask Scott Renault to come forth and begin the background presentation of some of the options to Drainage District Warren 11.
Good. Thank you, Wayne. I brought the presentation from before. I think most of you have seen it, so I'm not going to reiterate or go through that. So I'm just going to provide a short kind of preview of what we're talking about. After the meeting last time, I mean, really what you're looking at is the cost was much more significant than you wanted. And so what I did is I tailored it back to what I felt was the most critical needs. That doesn't mean that there's some not other needs that are in the district that need to be addressed, but that they don't necessarily need to be addressed at this point in time. And I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. As you know, there was a request made by the some owners of the ditch to do some maintenance on the ditch. A year ago or so, that we had a hearing in January. The cost was too loud or too large. I'm sorry, and then several landowners didn't want some improvements that they had done, primarily in wildlife conservation on their farms, completed at that time. So what I'm doing here is doing a reduced project. We're to talk about a little bit on what is the necessary, we'll call it the non-negotiable things that need to be done for ditch maintenance. And then at the end, the trustees will take some action. Just to reiterate why we're here is the Drainage District has a obligation by under state law to maintain and repair the districts to its original condition. We're not doing any improvements. This is just to fix things that are out there. When we're talking about fixes, I want to be clear about what the Drainage District actually has ownership over, or easement over, or control over, and that is essentially the ditch right-of-way. And the way that we typically will do that is assume it is from the edge of the berm to the edge of the berm. And there's a little bit of gray area in there. It's not exactly a defined area necessarily. It's more of what takes to maintain the ditch. We do try to keep it as narrow as possible and not affect how the farmer has been farming the ground. We probably prefer this situation here where the farming is not right next to the ditch, as opposed to here where we actually have a kind of a leveled off berm farming up next to the ditch, but we deal with what we have. When we do clean out of the ditches, we're typically either going to build up the berm higher, or in the case of this, we will take and we'll spread the soil across the ground make it so it's farmable again. This is a little bit easier because we usually just pile the material up and then reseed it. Over here, we have to make sure we have all the rocks and the tree roots and all the other stuff out of it. But the right-of-way is from this point to this point, and that varies depending on how deep and how big the ditch is. So what are the issues? We talked about this last time. We've got extensive tree growth. The trees in of themselves are not necessarily a problem, but they do prevent us from doing maintenance on the ditch. Farmers typically don't like them because it shades the edges of the fields, and so you get usually less yield on the areas that are shaded by the trees. They're also fodder for beavers, and they typically do not do a very good job of erosion control on the ditch because when the trees fall in, they take some of the ditch bank with them, causing some bank sloughing and erosion. Anybody that wants to see the previous slideshow, I have slides of each one of these things. Channel meandering, where the channel starts to go snake-like and curve around due to bank sloughing and erosion. You get siltation in the channel, where we just have anywhere from 2 to 5 feet of silt in the channel. We have some tile outlets that come into the ditch that have some maintenance issues, and then we also have side channel erosion where we're getting new channels eroding into the side of the channel. So those are the kind of issues that we're trying to deal with. These, again, just are maintenance issues. What I want to do on this project is reduce the project to basically focus on the repairs north of County Road E18. So resolve all the issues in that area. And then if there's any property owners that have issues downstream that are, again, these aforementioned issues here, that are next to the ditch, if they want their part maintained back to original condition, then I think there's an obligation by the district to do so. However, the worst part as far as damage and silt and necessity of repairs is north of E18. North of E18, we have, of course, County Road S14 or 620th, depending on how you want to look at it. We've got a lot of erosion next to the road, and that needs to be repaired, or they're going to lose the road. And so that definitely needs to be repaired. That's about a half mile long. From there on up, then we have the channel that has probably the most silt in the channels in that area. So clean the silt out of that area as needed. In order that the tile outlets that are coming into those areas are allowed to function. South of E18, again, it's just if the property owner that's adjacent to the ditch has some issues. Now, what we're talking about is this portion right here, and so we still have about 70% of the remaining ditch that we're not going to do anything at this point in time. At least that's what I'm proposing. There's another view of it here of just from E18 or the county park that's here all the way up to where the tile outlet starts. The cost gets reduced to about 30% of the original, $234,190. I left the same, this is the same cost estimate that was in the preliminary report. I just changed the numbers based on this portion of the ditch. So if you wonder why I use certain things, it's just a percentage or a number based on this actual length. So again, 30%. We took out the reclassification. We still are including long-term brush and tree control for this portion of the ditch. We did not include it downstream of S14. And then the county has, the county engineer investigated some right-of-way issues. Is the part of the ditch is in the right-of-way of S14, and that's a county obligation by law, not the district's. That's not included in this as well. On the other side of the way it works on this particular one is about half the ditch is in the county's right-of-way, the other half is not. All right. Downstream of the A18, if requested by the landowner and I go out and I see that there's an issue to repair it back into its standard right-of-way or standard look, we'll add that to the project and then resolve any issues we discussed earlier. So what is not negotiable for these downstream property owners? If you have extensive tree growth, again, that's fine. I don't know that it greatly worries me. Bank sloughing and erosion, that's fine as long as it doesn't silt in and block the ditch. channel meandering. That was really what prompted me to look downstream, is because I could see the channel was starting to meander, which means it's getting outside of its right-of-way. And if that's the case, then I think it's impacting your farmland and your farm values. But if you're okay with the meandering and it's not, we're not getting any blockages, or we're not getting any, the tiles are able to drain, then that's fine. From my standpoint, the district has an obligation, but as a property owner, you don't mind the channel meandering around on your property, that's fine. All right. If the property line runs down the center of the ditch, for instance, we may only work on one side. If the one farmer wants the work done and the other one doesn't, then that's the way it'll be done. The one thing that's not negotiable is siltation of the channel. If we got some silt that is blocking the tiles, that we need to get that out. That needs to come out, so we can't block any flow in the ditch of the tiles. Tile washouts, if we have any of those, we need to go in and repair those and get those done. So if it's a private one, it's a little bit ambiguous, but if it's a one that's the district's in particular, because the district has tiles as well, then we need to fix those. Side channel erosion, where it's cutting in a new ditch to the side, as long as it's not putting silt in the channel or a significant effect on the channel, again, don't care. That's probably one, if I was a property owner, that I'd want to at least tailor in a little bit. Beaver dams, as nice as beavers are for creating habitat, they're lousy for two reasons. Number one is they hold the water back and the tiles don't have free drain. And then they also collect silt behind them, which means that we have silt to take out. So no beavers, no beaver dams. So if there's any of those will be removed by the district, which is their obligation as well. So the reduced cost that we showed up there, the $234,000, is on E18 North only. That doesn't include anything that the property owners may want downstream. There is some contingency in there, not enough to handle if everybody wants it done. But it's my sense from the last meeting that not everybody is going to want that done. So we did have a question of if a landowner wants to do the work on his own ditch. We had a conversation with the trustees on that. Definitely not without permission of the drainage district trustees. Must follow the basic requirements of the Iowa Code for drainage districts. And generally, I don't think we're going to find too many people who are going to want to do it. So generally not permitted. There are some significant hoops that both the supervisor or the trustees for the district have to go through, as well as whoever's doing the work. I'm not saying you can't do it, but there are some requirements to do that. With that was all I had. If you want me to go back to any part of the original presentation, I did bring that. I can bring that and show you if you have any questions about any specific thing. But otherwise, I'll just be up here for questions, and then after that, go back to the trustees.
Scott, first of all, prior to moving forward and hearing from individuals, I got your handout this afternoon, and as I went through it, and the concern or the question that I had, I would have liked to have discussed this prior to that, but this is just my take on that. As trustees, why would we reference that landowners could actually take care of doing work on their particular property if they got permission from the trustees, and if they worked with the engineer and they followed the code as far as insurance and bonding, and then we as trustees would turn around and say, well, you've done all of these things, but now we really don't want you to do it. I think...
I wasn't perhaps as clear as I could have been there, Wayne. And what I really mean is, if the farmer that is cleaning out his own ditch or doing the work on his own expects the district to pay for it, then he needs to go through all the procedures. Regardless of if the work's done or not, I think the district really needs to know what's going on so it can be reviewed, most likely by the county engineer, because in that capacity, that's what Darren would normally do. So it's a matter of maybe more of payment than it is of actually performance. If somebody came in and said, I want to clean the ditch myself and I don't want to be paid for it by the district, and we had a basic understanding of how that work was to be done, and it didn't affect the ditch, performance, then that's fine. But as far as a farmer getting reimbursed to do work on the district, I believe it's very specific in the code and on how that has to be done. And thank you for helping me clarify that.
Good.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Talk to me a little more, Scott, about what's running right there parallel with S-14. Part of it is right up against the road right away, right?
Yeah, this entire portion from the county park all the way up to here, this is a, let's see, these are 40s, so a little more than a half mile of road runs right next to S-14. Or 620th. It's paved, so. Or it's not paved, it's a gravel road.
So 620th right there.
Yeah. And that's the part. I do have some pictures of that if you wanted to.
And we're saying, you're saying that the county would take care of that outside of drainage district issues. We'd take care of that.
Under the drainage district code, anything that's within the right-of-way of the county highways, the state highways, and the railroad is the obligation of the county or state or the railroad to do repair on. And so Darren's research showed that the part of the district, it's about split half and half.
I think it was originally built all on private, but it's made its way into the road right-of-way, so we need to protect the road. We are for.
And then another question that's come up here in the last week or so, how does this ditch being in the floodplain, how does that affect anything we want to do on this in terms of permitting and everything else?
Okay, permitting, we'll have to get a Corps of Engineer. There's three permits we'll have to get, of which some of those have what I would call sub-permits. First of all, we get a Corps of Engineers and Iowa Department of Natural Resources water quality permit, which basically states the work that we're going to do, and it's called a 401-404 permit, and basically that's reviewed by the Corps of Engineers in Rock Island and the DNR in Des Moines. The ditch is covered under a general permit for maintenance. And so typically we don't do much of anything if it's being restored to an original condition. If we were making it bigger or whatnot, then we'd have some different issues. But it's usually covered under a maintenance thing. Regardless of that, then in some cases you'll get kicked into the Corps in particular can have you do a fisheries review, a wetland review, and an archaeology review, and those are usually the three things. But typically they have not done that on drainage ditches. Because they are an existing drainage structure. The third permit that we'll need is a standard erosion control permit for drain construction, and we'll just take that out, and that's a short-term permit for how we handle the silt and the stuff that we pull out of the ditch.
And this was the area when you first went and looked at this ditch, this was the area that is silted in the most. I mean, we have the most problems in this area north of B-18, right?
You have more silt, and you have more issues with the road in that particular. The owners that were the original petition holders are the ones that are in this area as well.
Okay. Darren, would you mind talking a little bit? I know that over the last couple months we've talked about having an ongoing maintenance program. We've talked with Joe Quaker about that a little bit. Can you update this group on what we're looking at there and kind of – okay, what we get past this project, wherever it ends up, what's it going to look like from here?
I did have that sheet along with me. This is kind of what we proposed a number of years ago. We kind of broke it into a bunch of categories on... First of all, we identified how many open ditches we actually had, and it was around 15. Some of them are kind of combined, have multiples, but it's right around 15 total, and some are fairly short, so it's not something overwhelming, so I think it's something our IRVM department could take care of in-house. And what Joe proposed to kind of break it into classes. Class one is recently cleaned out ditch. And then management options include follow-up with stable grass plantings. And then there's a class two, an open ditch with minimal brush concerns. And that's got a maximum brush height of 6 feet. And then there's a class three, that's an open ditch with heavy brush concerns, maximum brush height of 15 feet. And that management options include promotion of buffer strips and contract spraying. Then we get into the class four, open ditch with trees, and that's a height of trees 15 feet and above. And management options include promotion of buffer strips, contract tree cutting, logging, followed by the class one or two maintenance. Then we get to the worst class, V5, open ditch full of trees and silt. And then the management options include logging, regrading, and cleaning out the ditch. So we kind of have to see which category they fall in and go from there.
Yeah, because for me, I mean, dealing with what we've got to deal with here in this drainage district, whether it, I mean, any option from doing everything all the way up to disbanding the drainage district, but it just seems to me that we don't need to, you know, another board of supervisors 40 years from now doesn't need to be having this conversation again. We need to be taking these things a step at a time and making sure that we're doing the things we need to do. And so what I wanted for all of you is just to know that it's something we're addressing. You know, we're trying to put a plan in place. Now the question before us is, as I see it, as trustees, what part, if any, of this project are we going to approve? And then, as I understand it, what does the drainage district want to do in terms of disbanding or anything else? Because as I read the code, we can't just ignore this. We can't just say, yeah, well, nothing's been done for 60 years, so we're not going to do it. We've got to address the issues we've got to address. We've got tiles that aren't draining and some things we've got to do.
I think that was the one thing that I had question on, and Scott, when you were in my office the other day when I requested some of this stuff out of the code, and I know I had a conversation with Jerry Bearden here a while back about what exactly the trustee's responsibility is. I'm not clear on if we're actually directed by the code to, you know, I think it's one of these things where may or shall. And that's exactly how this reads. And I'll just read through it really quick. It's in the section 468 under levy and drainage districts and improvements. It's section 126, repairs and improvements. When any levy or drainage district has been established and the improvement constructed, the improvement shall be at all times under the supervision of the Board of Supervisors, except as otherwise provided for control and management by a Board of Trustees. And the Board shall keep the improvement in repair as provided in this section. The board at any time on its own motion without notice may order done whatever is necessary to restore or maintain a drainage or levee improvement to its original efficiency. So that's the question I have.
Right, and for me it wasn't that may that got me. It was the shall up above that. The supervisors shall keep this drainage district. And so I'm with you. I mean, it's either or, and I think all of you understand perfectly well there are items that we can do as the trustees, and there's items we can't do. We don't have the power to reclassify. We don't have the power to determine that the drainage district actually impacts more people than are currently in it. We don't have the power to change the contribution percentages. We don't have these things. I'm so appreciative of Dave Dio for being here. We ask him to be here tonight to hear some of your concerns and some of the things that are going on with drainage districts. Because I know as I've gone through this, I do feel there's some inequities in the way our current system is. That said, there's nothing that the three of us can do about that. I mean, we're just looking at this is what we've got in front of us. Now we've got to do something with it.
Okay.
Scott Reno?
Scott, are there any other questions for
Scott?
Yeah,
I mean, you've come back now with this scaled-down project. I mean, is this the stuff that, as you look at this ditch, has to be done and has to be done now? And
yes.
Is that where we are?
Yes. I really think we should still do the entire project,
right.
But the fact of the matter is, from the standpoint of whether the tiles are working or if there's silt in the ditch, is we don't have that issue too much below S14. I do think there's a lot of point repairs that probably need to happen, but as long as the property owner doesn't mind the meanders and doesn't mind the problem and it doesn't affect the district or cost the district anything, then I just scaled it back to what I thought was necessary at this time. I think what you're going to end up doing is you're going to do this in stages and probably instead of one big project. And we'll do 2 miles and then do 2 miles and then do 2 miles and do 2 miles, so until we're done. But it basically, you know, it depends on who the property owners are and whether they want it done or not.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next, is your question directed for Scott, sir? I thought I saw your hand there. Scott would. What? Yeah.
Did everybody hear the question?
Yeah.
The question is just talking about how we distribute, how the costs are currently distributed by the state, and are all drainage districts done this way? Is that Scott Wall?
Yeah. Okay, I believe we're ready then to, yes.
Hit other.
Wait, a couple of hands, sorry. I didn't mean to cut anyone off.
Yeah, well, problem is when they drew this up back in 1911 and so, that was fine because the guys that were close to the drainage, they got the biggest benefit because most of the tile was put in by spade deep. You didn't have guys 3 or 4 miles away that were going to dig a trench, tile out a pond 3 or 4 miles, and the guys close to the drainage just got it. It's not that way anymore. Since then, the county has put in 20-inch tiles in the ditch, and guys are 3 or 4 miles away are getting just as much benefit from it as I am. It's not fair anymore, the way it's distributed the cost of it. Well, there's the tile there north of the Hull of Greenhouse, the 20-inch county tile, and the county hasn't fixed it. I complained about it 3 years ago. My field is so wet on the other side of it, the water level in the ditch is the same water level in the field, and it will never dry out, and it's basically, the county is, there's 3 of us farmers that are thinking about putting in using our own money and going on our own property to go bypass this part that they think is caved in and not working, just so we can drain the field. Right now, we can't even farm and get a crop off, yet you expect us to pay the taxes on it when we ain't getting nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big brook.
Well, you certainly have a concern, and we've heard this concern from more than just you. And again, it comes back to the gentleman's question here again, is the way the system and the assessments are laid out, we basically, when the repair has to take place, are obligated to follow the code and how the assessments were originally laid out. And so the next option is whether or not this is something that the legislator would be willing to take up. And at this juncture, in this current season, it's very problematic that you would get anything done right now other than an opportunity to try to weigh in because of the way the whole process and the funneling process and all have taken place. But I do think it's an issue that we need to work on for the following year to see what changes could be made in this particular area. Not getting away from some of the other questions, but as we've heard the options of the scaled-down version, a little later I want to hear from you as to what you think about that option. The second item here comes back to the method of financing the district repairs. I believe the last meeting we had, we kind of went through that again. There may be a few people here that wasn't here, could you cover this portion again? What are the financing options available if we would move forward with this scaled-down version? Whichever one wants to speak.
Well, there's a couple ways. First of all, you can obviously just pay it directly, the full amount. But then the trustees also have the ability to break it up into a shorter period of time. Usually it's done on a shorter time frame of 10 to 12 years. You can, go up to 20 years by the code. Typically what is done is the county, most of the counties in Story County has not done this, do it one of two ways. Either you issue warrants through a bank, and so you have a basically a bank financing. Usually costs you two or three points above normal prime rate. But a lot of counties on bigger projects just use this county's reserve funds and basically fund it internally. And then they can fund it at whatever rate that they want, because the Board of Trustees are allowed to set the rate for the interest rate for their improvements. For this district, I did a couple of different alternatives. Bank as quoted about 5.25, 5.5, and then I think you could go through a different route and probably do 3.5, but then there's going to be some bonding fees and whatnot. The by far simpler thing is for the county just to use their reserve funds and do it that way. And basically the county finances it. Right now the county has reserve funds. They're probably making a fairly small percentage on, and so they could add a point or two to that, and everybody benefits because it's lower than what you can get from a bank. But yet the county can do that, and we've had some discussions with the supervisors on that. But so recommendations would probably be in the 10-year range, but it also depends on the size of the project. This is a smaller project, so we probably make sure we would go to the smaller amount. The way that the law works on these things is there's no way to be penalized for paying off early, so you can always pay off early if you want. No penalties for early payment. Can I summarize that pretty well?
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Yeah, and just taking a half step backwards here, Wayne, it seems to me that there's two potential mechanisms for dealing with any perceived inequity or outdatedness of the drainage district. One is state legislator, and again, thanks to Dave for being here. The second way is to go through this reclassification process, which, Scott Renaud, I think you told us last time, is a fairly cumbersome, fairly expensive process that, in your experience, hasn't really changed a whole lot, but it is most definitely an option that a district could go through if they feel like people are getting undue benefit that they're not being charged for.
That's true. You can do reclassification if you want, but the reclassification itself is based, the payment for that is based on the original classification. So if you thought you had some inequity, it's not, you still get to pay for that inequity when you do the first reclassification. That's an expensive process. And as I told you last time, I would not do it. We would have another firm that would come in and do that. But it's a relatively expensive process, even for a smaller. And the bigger the district is, the bigger it is, it's going to cost to do that. And whenever I've seen it done, it makes very minor changes and very minor adjustments, because the Iowa code is very specific on how those assessments are distributed. And really, as Scott Wall indicated, is the closer you are to the tile or to the ditch, basically the more you pay. The farther you move away, the less you pay. There's no equality of, rain falls on every piece of ground somewhat equally and everybody pays equally. That's not the way it works. That's not the way the code works. I think there's that's just how it works. So my recommendation because I think it's the least cost and you don't get really any benefit from doing the reclassification is not to do reclassification. And it's not required to do unless they felt there was a lot of, you know, errors in the original classification or people that were not included in the original classification. But again, you have to look at the cost benefit. You may bring in an extra 100 or 200 acres that brings in, I'll just make up a number, $10,000, but it may cost you $60,000 to get that $10,000 extra brought in. So it's not always worth it.
So the fact that there's all this additional tile that wasn't there before is not really recognized in the reclassification process?
No, because they're still the farthest away. I mean, I don't like it either, but
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
We
got to
deal with.
I live at least almost a third, if not a half a mile from the drainage district, but according to my benefit assessment, I live right next to it because my acreage came off of a piece of land that obviously does lie right next to it.
Right.
It's never been changed.
Right.
So
right.
In that regard, that's asinine. I get no benefit from the ditch, but yet I'm paying per acre probably the highest benefit of anybody in this room. Huh?
I'm not saying that it makes sense. I've never said that. I'm just saying.
In 1951, there was very little actual tiling that was done prior to 1951. That's when this benefit assessment was done. Mm-hmm. Since then, look at all the tiling that's been done and all the extra water that's being thrown into this drainage ditch from people not right next to it. But yet they're not paying for it.
I understand that. I mean,
so I don't see where you're saying that it would serve no purpose.
No, what I'm saying is you may spend more money. If you really want to do reclassification, number one is I'm not guaranteeing that you're going to get a lesser assessment, first and foremost. All right? Second of all is it may not be worth it in the end. If your assessment right now, and I'm just making up a number, is $50,000 and it goes to $40,000, you're still going to pay for the assessment all the way through. If you really think there's a lot of inequities or errors or whatnot throughout the district, then this partial project is not what you want to do. You want to do the full project because the process for reclassification, I think, estimated was $60,000. That doesn't change because the district is the size that it is. Every 40-acre parcel or parcel thereof has to be reviewed by this party of three, and it takes a long time, and it's an involved process. So I don't recommend that you do it. You can ask for it, and they can do it, but I don't think it's going to benefit you very much. That would be helpful. And I'll just...
Could we have to do it? Could we get the law changed for this particular district? Or would it be over in District 9?
The question he had is, it would be... I'm just going to reiterate the question for those that couldn't hear it. Is it would it be for just this district or for every district in Iowa? Well, here's the problem with drainage district law. First and foremost, it's very old law. Most of it was created in the late 1800s, all right? Shortly after Iowa became a state, they started working on some of this law. So it's very old. Most of it has never been changed or modified or addressed very much. From the standpoint of a legislature, is only 30 to 35 counties out of the 100 really have very much for drainage districts. So you have only a third of the state requesting changes in drainage district law. On top of that is all of those the areas that have a lot of drainage districts, and drainage districts do not have the population that the rest of the state has. Des Moines doesn't care about drainage districts. Cedar Rapids does not care about drainage districts, so on and so forth. So when you look at the population, even though it's 30% of the counties or 35% of the counties, population-wise, it's about, you know, maybe 10%, maybe 5, you know, at the most. And that's the problem from the legislator standpoint, is trying to address really old law and with that really benefits a relatively small portion of the state. All right, if you want to join the Iowa Drainage District Association, they have had, I've gone to those meetings since for 25 years, and it's always the same issues are brought up. All right, and it hasn't changed. All right.
I was just going to bring that up. There is an Iowa Drainage District Association, and they. That's kind of so they have a collaborative voice. And they do have a full-time person on staff. I'm sure you'd have to pay some dues to be part of that, but they have a website, I believe, is iowadrainage.org. Does that sound right? I think it's iowadrainage.org, and it shows what their legislative, you know, objectives are and current lawsuits that are out there for drainage districts, stuff like that. It's a good website, so I'd recommend going to that.
And I will tell you one thing is though, you know, I don't agree with everything that was done. You have to understand there was a reason why they did the law the way that they did it. All right, it wasn't just dreamed up as being an inequitable thing, but there's been a lot of changes since late 1800s, early 1900s. I mean, early 1900s, we were still farming with horses for the most part. Probably half the ground was in pasture, and people had cattle and dairy cattle and whatnot. And now we're farming everything, and there's a lot more tile, as you've said. So things have changed, and there's no way to address that in the current context of the code. And it was set up, in a different time for a different reason. But don't, on the other hand, I don't want you to just throw out the baby with the bathwater. There are some reasons for the way certain things were done, but. And I have some appreciation for that, but for me, these are not exactly an engineering project. Most of the time, they're historical reconstruction of whatever was there, and I'm doing that very carefully because of the farm program in particular. If I don't do these as repairs, then there is an improvement, and if you have wetland issues, then it ripples all the way through all of your farm ground, and so we don't want to do that. That goes to Rick's question on permits. You know, that's why we're careful with getting the permits done, because we don't want to affect any of your farming programs or anything along those lines as well. So it's not straightforward, unfortunately.
How much did you say the county was paid on this $234,000?
Well, first of all, in the context of the $234,000, they're really not included in the context of the money that goes towards the road. That would be a separate line item that I didn't put up here. But the county, because they own property within there, they're the own. They get assessed just like the rest of the farmers as well. And the number on this one, do you remember?
Doug, it was 60 on the full project.
On the full project, it was 60,000, so that was about 7% of the total. So they'd be 7% of this total.
69,000.
Yep. 69,000. So 9%. Yeah.
Plus the cost of dealing with the right-of-way on 620th. I mean,
plus,
which wouldn't be part of the drainage
cost.
District, but that would
right.
be an additional county
right.
cost.
Right. So the county parks and the county roads are included as one of the property owners, as well as if there's any railroad or DOT property that gets included as well. And they're listed as property owners in the assessment, and that's on the county's website yet, I think, as well. Based on the original cost, you didn't change it.
No.
So you just have to take about a third of that or so. Any other questions for me?
Talk about delaying the project, spreading it over several years. So you're such as been talking about just taking it smaller chunks, so you're just spreading the problem over a longer time period?
Well, in an ideal world, I would prefer to just do the entire thing and get it all done at one shot. I think it's the most economical way to do it, and it's the right way to do it. However, when you look at the function of the ditch, and Darren talked about this a little bit, we classify the different degrees of problems. And the first 2 miles has the worst, and then I'm thinking at some time in the future when the amount of meandering or erosion of the bank becomes intolerable, that the property owners downstream are going to ask for repairs. But, yeah, it's going to get pushed out over several years instead of one shot.
Do you have an immediate plan to proceed with the future projects, or will those be on hold until someone requests that those projects be done?
Did everybody hear his question, or do you want me to repeat?
No, good question.
Do we have any plans for the future projects? The answer is no. I have been adamant in front of previous board of supervisors that we need to do this maintenance in a more planned manner and not on a kind of an emergency basis or whatnot. And so it would be my desire that as soon as this project gets done, we turn around and do the next one and just keep working our way through the problems. The ditch is was built in 1915, I believe, or maybe before then. I can't remember the exact date, 1911. So it's 100 years old. It's got some issues. We've had pretty severe rainfall in the last 10 out of the last 20 years. It's getting beat on a little bit. But, you know, I'm just the engineer. The trustees can say, no, we don't want to do this. Wait until it's a dire emergency. And that's typically what has been done as far as the county has done things. We just do things when it's an emergency. When things are so broken that it's intolerable. So,
and I'll just speak from my perspective. What's happened for me and to me through this process, and I've said a couple of times, they don't tell you anything about drainage districts when you're running for supervisor. That's just a bonus you get with the job. What's happened for me is we have, as trustees, we have to have a plan for every one of our open ditches. We have to have boots on the ground in every one of our open ditches at least once every 2 years. And I don't think that's anything that we've really had as part of our plan in the past. So regardless of what we do here, full project, scale down project, no project, disband the district, as I see it, every one of our open ditches, we're going to have somebody now looking at them. Like I say, at least once every couple years, getting in there and spraying and doing some things. So we're going to start to notice without a landowner being the one to trigger everything, we're going to start to notice things in the future. And I would say every one of our drainage districts should expect more, hopefully smaller, but more projects in the future as we try to maintain these things rather than, as Scott says, waiting for it to be where we're in a desperate situation and we have to go in and do something. That's my perspective on this whole deal.
I think that's kind of what we talked about last time when we were here, that, you know, we wanted to make the take the step to make sure that we maintain them. And I guess the question I have is if we only do the north end of this ditch, then how are we going to go about maintaining the rest of it? I mean, from the pictures that I saw, there's trees and that are actually in the ditch itself, and like Scott said, he's not too concerned about the trees that are, you know, that are up on the berm, but the trees that are actually in the ditch itself are problematic. But if we only do, or if we don't do anything, and then I don't know how we're going to be able to maintain this ditch at all. So that's something else you need to think about.
I mean, the way I term this is, you know, it's like doing maintenance on anything that you own is you have to do some level of maintenance. And if you don't want to do the maintenance, that's fine. I mean, if you don't want to change the oil in your car, you can probably drive 25,000-30,000 miles before it totally, you know, turns to a pile of junk and you have to do something with it. Well, that's kind of the case here. We haven't done any normal maintenance on this thing for a long time. Things have changed over time. You know, people had cattle that kind of kept the trees down, and guys would cut trees for firewood. I mean, there's all sorts of things that have changed over time. And it kind of goes, I mean, where we're leading with the question is, as soon as the ditch starts getting out of its right-of-way that we showed up here on this picture, is I feel like we need to do something. However, if the property owner doesn't have a problem with the ditch getting outside of its right-of-way, and we're not getting tiles blocked, or we're not collecting silt, or something that impedes flow, I don't know that I necessarily care, all right? That's why, you know, when we looked at this reduced project, you notice I qualified that. I said two things. Number one is I want to do the thing north of E18. On the other hand, if there's any property owners that feel like there needs to be maintenance done on their ditch to maintain it within its right-of-way, then that needs to be done as part of this project as well. If every property owner said that all the way down, then we'd go back to the original project, but I don't think that's going to be the case. So, you know, I'm assuming at some point, it could be one landowner is perfectly fine with a ditch meandering, and the next guy that buys the property is going to say, what's going on? Why haven't they maintained this? And it's going to be the district's responsibility to come in and do it.
Scott, can you answer this question for me? Assuming that the decision is to go ahead and do the portion, the northern portion, as you mentioned, the assessment, though, follows the original assessment, and everybody all along that area, even though nothing is happening in that area, are contributing to the assessment of that repair. Is that not correct?
That's true. That's true. And this one was redone and reclassified in 1951, I believe Scott said.
Right.
So it's based on the 1951 reclassification.
And I think that's an important factor for you to understand, is even though it's an unfair situation and we are trying to deal with the most severe area, everybody is going to be contributing a portion toward that problem. And then ultimately, the question comes is much further down. So let's say 1, 2, or 3 years down the road, an individual landowner says, well, now I'm having some problems. I would like to have something done. Well, now that triggers another assessment from whatever portion is done then, and everybody within that district now will contribute towards the payment of that repair.
That same percentage.
That same Absolutely. Percentage.
It seems to me there's three possibilities here, because I as a trustee, I take the do-nothing option off the table. I don't buy that the knowledge that we have as trustees, the Code of Iowa, allows us to just do nothing. So I remove that one. I believe there's three other options. There is the option of doing a project in whatever scope is determined. There's the option of having this thing reclassified, even though we're hearing that it's a bad option. I also equally hear and frankly agree with the fact that a lot has changed since 1951, including my life. The third one is for you guys to disband it. And I know there's been an effort to put together a petition to disband this thing, and I think it's dependent largely on the outcome of this meeting. So if we could, Wayne, can we spend just a minute talking about what dissolution of the district would look like and what the time frame would be and all of that?
Yes, I believe so, but I do want to make sure that the conversation includes something that may be missed in this whole concept of dissolution. That dissolution, from the trustee's point of view, would mean that you would have to form your own trustees and then determining what maintenance option you're going to basically use. I don't think the board of trustees should sit back and say, you can just dissolve this and then not have any trustees with the responsibility of the ongoing maintenance, because we now know that there are needs out there that need to be addressed. That's just the point of view that I'm concerned with at this point in time.
As I took it, Wayne, and I guess this starts the conversation, laying all cards on the table, our advice from the legal world is that if we dissolve, the three of us I'm talking about as trustees, if we dissolve this district, petition or no petition, we are putting the county on the hook liability-wise for all of it. So I think the advice we've gotten is if there's a petition that comes forward to dissolve the district, that's fine. You guys are well within your right. But the first thing that would have to happen is you have to remove us as trustees, because we can't put the full county on the hook for anything that might happen 15 or 20 years down the road. So a petition to dissolve the district that has the required number of signatures and the required percentage would, in essence, remove us as trustees. You guys would have to select your own, and then those trustees are the ones that would eventually dissolve the district. So there's a cut. It's not as simple as you submit the petition tonight and all of a sudden the district's gone. That would be the first step in us getting it done, but I just wanted to make sure we were clear there. And to me, that's kind of the timeline that we're talking about of what our next steps are regardless of what direction we go.
And we talked about this last time. I think we did, but you guys as a district can elect your own trustees at any time. And if you guys decide that's what you want to do, you don't want to dissolve the district, you want to scale this project down to whatever you think you can swallow, you can do that, but you're going to have to do that after you've appointed three new trustees and relieved us from our duties.
And we'd be really disappointed if you did that, too. I mean, that would really...
For yourself. Good. Okay, so... If getting back to the agenda, and help me, both Paul and Rick, the way it's laid out here, the discussion centers to talk about the acknowledging the receipt of the petition to dissolve.
And we have not received one.
And we've only received one. And so my question
would be one.
But there's a lot in pockets out here
right.
that could be forthcoming.
Right, but the question would be, and I'm just asking for your consideration, is would it be proper before we got to that point to allow for input from the various landowners, and hopefully part of that discussion would be regarding whether or not they favor the scaled-down version, and tie that also in with the desire to either dissolve or maintain the district in some form. I'm just trying to think that the way this is set up.
Well, yeah, I think we need to get off the paper here, and I think it's time for us to address what Scott Renault has put forward to us, which is basically doing the project in the northern part of the district, take citizen comment, take drainage district landowner comment on all of that, for us to move forward on wherever we're headed on that, and then based on that action, then there may be something further that you guys want to do as landowners, and then we deal with that as we go. So, Wayne, that's where I'd ask us to be is, Scott Renault has given us a really good presentation. He did exactly what we asked him to take a look at, which is scaling this thing down to the absolute necessities only. That's what's been presented. I think we're going to take some kind of action on that eventually. Now we're asking for comment from you guys on the scaled down proposal that's been put before us.
Could we ask Scott to break down this project a little bit, as opposed to just right now all I see is a project between E18 and the end of the district for $200,000+. What actually is going to take place?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll address that. I didn't bring the cost estimate shown on your thing is probably too small for you to read, but I'll just go through the items. Is that what you like me to do? Or
yeah, I mean, I've got some questions, but I'd like to know, first of all, what we can expect to get for $234,000.
First of all, this I'm using this as an estimate, and we actually bid the project out to a contractor, and so it is what the contractor is. Now, I typically try to do these very conservatively so that the costs come in less than what I expect. All right. Plus, on this cost, you'll even see we have a 10% contingency included as well to handle unforeseens and, you know, diesel price. You know, diesel fuel goes to $10 a gallon or something like that.
But at the end of the day, the drainage district is going to pay exactly what it costs and not a penny more, regardless of what the estimate is.
That's right. That's right. The county can put some reserve funds for future items in here, which I do have a future item actually listed in here, which is the number 13, which is ditch maintenance, which the county can do themselves or they can hire it out. And so I'll just go through the items here quickly. And the first item is just mobilization, which is bond and insurance for the contractor plus getting his equipment to the site. I put most of the, again, this estimate was done for the original, and I just tailored it to this one. So I said that most of the tree and brush removal on this portion of the ditch was moderate. That's item number three. And then we had ditch cleaning, which involves two things: taking the silt out of the ditch, restoring slough banks, restoring the meanders, those kinds of things, or where we have some erosion, dealing with all of that. So there's six thousand six hundred feet of that. Then you go down to item eight, which is bank stabilization riprap. There's 1,500 tons of riprap. That's primarily in curves of the ditch where it's beaten on the bank or where we have a side channel coming in. Using large stone to take care of those issues. Then we have basically the restoration things, which are bank stabilization and seeding and mulching, basically restoring everything so it's seeded down. That's items 11 and 12. And then 13 is a future item. It's not part of this. It's just that I want them to collect the money and put it in a reserve fund so they don't have to collect for every small requirement. And then there's no reclassification, and then there's engineering survey and construction for the smaller project. And what I did there, instead of, I just used 30% of the original amount because that's what the whole project ended up being. Sure. I'll just go through, I'll just read them here quickly then. Item one, mobilization, lump sum, $5,000. Item three, moderate tree and brush removal, 6,600 linear feet at $3 a linear foot, 19,800. extensive ditch cleaning, item 5, 6,600 linear feet at $10 a foot, $66,000. Item 8, bank stabilization riprap, 1,500 tons at $35 a ton, $52,500. Oh, I did miss one item. Item 9, point repairs, which are tiles or washouts or things that require a little more extra effort, 4 each at $5,000 apiece for $20,000. Special bank stabilization, which really is the inside of the banks when they're really steep. We do a little bit different method of treatment on that. 10,000 square feet at 60 cents a square foot for $6,000. Seeding and mulching of all disturbed areas of the banks, interior and out. That was done as a lump sum, $10,000. I'm sorry. And then tree and brush control, 6,600 feet at $1 a foot, and that would cover out the next two-year period. And then engineering, $27,000. That adds up to $212,900, and then there's a $21,290 contingency for a total project price of $234,190. Any question about any individual item?
That's about 30% of the original.
That's 30% of the original, thereabouts.
You talked about right-of-way along 620th, but I didn't hear you talk about right-of-way 120th, and there is a stretch there of several hundred.
Yeah, on this piece right here,
right here.
Yeah, it's the same thing. That one just looked like the ditch was farther away, and that's something that we investigate as we go along what the distance is. I can't tell from aerial photos necessarily where the properties are.
From the bridge to that 90-degree bend there, like I said, that's probably 400 feet or better.
Right, and any part of that will break out is what's in right of way. It's a little unusual situation. Most of the ditches cross at right angles, parallel. This is back
and
the only
part of the problem with this particular area,
right,
is that the no-till farm operation there, which creates a lot of refuse when it rains and washes out, that's created a lot of the dam problems and the silt collection problems in that area that hasn't been addressed for the last several years. I know that road's been washed out, I don't know how many times. And those two bends, you got one 90-degree bend and then another one that's probably 50 degrees there that's going to need to be addressed. So
right. And Darren and I will address those as kind of a separate issue. And there was a question about whether that was included in the cost. It's not. It's actually just something that will be added on as the county's portion, by themselves. The county still pays 8 or 9% of the total project because they own that much property. Any other questions for me?
Yeah, Scott. When they do it all this done, are the bridges big enough to handle all this extra flow of water?
The question is, are the bridges big enough to handle all this extra flow of water?
No.
And the answer is, from the district standpoint, is I don't care. All right?
He may not.
I'm saying for the district, I'm speaking for the district, not for the county. Is I don't care because the bridges are the county's own issue. All right, the district is not responsible for the bridges nor any part of the maintenance. That's part of the county. A more direct answer to your question, though, is the bridges probably based on the current flows. And well, I'll let Darren speak to that because you've looked at that more than I have.
And just for you, we'll back up to this morning's meeting.
We'll back up to this morning's meeting. Yes, he has looked at them, and he has given us a report regarding some of the challenges that we're facing.
This morning, Darren presented the five-year road plan for the county and five-year bridge plan for us to look at, and one of the questions in this morning's presentation was dealing with some of these bridges, not just this drainage district, all drainage. I mean, you know, as a county supervisor, we got to worry about more than just one drainage district, all these districts and flow rates, because it makes perfect sense to me now. If we're moving water and we've got our own dams, in essence, built in there, that it's something we need to address. And so it is something we've talked about, and Darren, I'll just let you go. But
yeah, we talked about this morning, and this bridge isn't any different than any of the rest of them in the county. You just it's an economic thing. You can't design bridges to span the whole floodway. It's just, it would be too costly. So they're all in the same boat. Do they back up some water? Sure. All the bridges do in the county, especially when you get these 100-year storms. We've had three of them in the past 4 years,
it
seems like.
It's not a 100-year storm, isn't it, anymore?
We also talked about kind of the design of bridges. Bridges are designed a little bit different than culverts. Bridges are designed for a velocity. We shoot for 5 feet per second coming through the bridge. The more you constrict it, the faster that water is going to come out the other side. So you can't really think about it. If you make that bridge wider, that's going to just create all this havoc, because it actually speeds water up to make that bridge smaller. So making it wider will help with the backwater. It'll help the water get through a little quicker and probably less silt. But that's an issue we have with all of our bridges, and I wish we could replace them all with 200-foot bridges, but we just can't do it.
And so that all of you guys know, there are other conversations, again, beyond one drainage district or even all drainage districts combined, but there are conversations that the supervisors are entering into right now to try to deal with some of these problems. There's no simple answer, and there's no absolute answer that somebody could give you sitting here today of what will happen. But it is something we're trying to find a way to deal with, and it involves dollars.
We have 284 bridges out there, and we get about $300,000 a year from the federal government to try to address that, and it's just hard to fund bridges locally. The money just isn't there.
Okay.
Well, there's 91 landowners, that's 12 people, so that's 13% of the owners. We only own 22% of the ground, and we're paying 45% of the bill. So it's okay for you to put it off doing any bridges at all.
You say me, we are you.
You know what I mean.
You want to pay more money to replace the bridges, let's do it, I'm all for it. No, it's right up there. You can look at it. There's a number of bridges on there.
Well, and even beyond the five-year plan, things that we want to get done that aren't part of the five-year plan, that spreadsheet that you gave us had how many bridges on it? I mean, many more than we had on the five-year plan. We're just trying to find the funding to get them kicked into the project.
Well, there aren't many with this much drainage coming through. And the bridges from 650th West, there's four in a row that are 32 feet wide. Each mile adds probably 1,000 to over 2,000 acres of drainage, those four consecutive miles. So each bridge should be bigger, shouldn't it, to take all that extra drainage?
Go on.
You know, that was a mistake in the first place, but if you people aren't willing to change that now,
why should
we go along with this project that just screws us everywhere there is?
And bridges are designed differently according to the surface of the road. If it's a paved road, it's designed for a 50-year storm where you get...
roads exactly the same for a road.
And how they designed them, those bridges are getting pretty old. How they designed them back then is a good question. I do not know that.
But I would think they would be a top priority of the ones that are the worst for holding back the drainage.
Like I say, I'd like to address them. Right now, we're not addressing bridges for hydraulic issues. It's more of structural issues, bridges that have actually fallen in, and it's more of a priority to get the bridges fixed that have load issues that aren't passable.
The trustees are right now here because we have been presented with a challenge trying to find a way to work with you, the property owners, as to the best way to address not only the current problem but future problems which are certain to surface if we do nothing. So well, what are you saying? The county isn't willing to do anything to help you. We are willing to do something. If you would have listened carefully to all the proposals that were on the table, part of the question was, is if we look at a project and decide which way we're going to fund those projects, that may be a way that the county can help. That was one of the options that was put on the table that we just recently researched or starting to research. So to say that we're not willing to do anything, I think is a misstatement. And while I understand that you are much more emotionally involved because of the issues that are there, we all recognize that. But our role up here as trustees is to try to find a workable solution that's the most cost-effective way to deal with this situation, not only for the present, but for the future. And we're going to try to listen as carefully as we can, consider all options available to us, and move forward. And I agree with you, we're not going to please every one of you out there. It's not going to be probably what all of you want, but we're going to make a decision that we think is in the best interest of the county at large and try to move forward. But we want to do that with due diligence by listening carefully to what are the issues, what are the concerns, and if need be, go back to the drawing board again and look at some of these types of things. Because unless we have these type of discussions, we don't have a full grasp as to the magnitude of all the issues that are out there. And this is why it's important that we facilitate this type of a meeting for us to find ways that we can work together. We're all in this together. You know, we have certain ways in early in our budget work session as to how counties get revenue to fund projects. And that's an entirely different subject if we, you know, want to cover that. But the way the drainage laws are set up and the repairs are set up, it's, we have no other option other than to follow the code. And the county will be paying for its portion of those pieces of land that will be impacted by the repairs that are needed, that are county-owned properties.
And I don't think anybody's disagreeing with you. I believe there's recognition that there are issues when we have a lot of water with some of our bridges that are not letting enough water go through. That said, however, I would think that most of you would agree, when we've got a bridge that's closed to traffic because it's not safe and we can't get a crane to it because we don't have another bridge that's safe enough, I mean, those kind of things would take priority over this, and we're trying to find a way. We're truly trying to identify some dollars to do some things like this. It's not that we don't recognize that it's an issue. It's that it's not as simple as us just saying, oh, we've got to put this ahead of everything else. And that said, this is outside the scope of the drainage district. Even though it affects the drainage district, it's outside the scope of this conversation tonight, which is, what, if anything, are we going to do? So please don't feel like we don't recognize that what you're saying is accurate. It's 100% accurate. We just got to figure out a way to get there.
Thank you.
3
Yeah. All I'll say is I'm Rick Sanders. I'm not Jane Halliburton. Okay. And you know what? Just see how I walk the walk. I mean, I'm telling you where I am. These guys are going to tell you exactly where they stand, and you're not supposed to have faith. But at the end of the day, we've got a job to do here, and that's exactly what we're going to try to do. And part of that job is listening to anything that you guys want to tell us about this, and then we try to make the best decision we can based on the information we have. I mean, that's what it is.
I resent that statement, sir. Obviously, I realize you have a concern. You have stated it. But I think that we want to make sure that we keep the conversation not as a personal attack against anyone, but just speak directly to the issues that we have. Because of their expertise in this particular area, they don't... Some of the repair work that he's kind of indicated has not indicated that he's the one that's actually going to do the work. He's doing the engineering report and preparing the information as to the anticipated cost for this. Okay.
you can go ahead and go to another engineer. It ain't going to break my heart. You know, I do these things because I'm good at them. But if you want to find somebody else that's better, you go ahead. You know, I grew up on a farm, guys. I know what I'm doing. I have a degree in agricultural engineering from Iowa State. I've been doing this for a long time. And I do these. I'm a frugal guy, and I do them about as frugal as I can. You ask where I get the prices? Well, I've done, I do dozens of projects a year, and I know how much things cost. And you'll be dang surprised. It'll be really close to what I've already estimated here. This isn't the first time I've done this. I do 30 to 40 projects a year. I've done over 1,000 drainage projects. I know what I'm doing.
Well, let me.
And I don't care if you want to find somebody else, you go ahead and find somebody else.
Scott,
all right. So,
Scott, let's get back to the issue. First of all, let's acknowledge that individuals in the audience, it's difficult sometimes not to express your frustration. You've been dealing with this a long time. This board has been brought into the fold of looking at this as it's been presented to us, and we're really committed to trying to find a way to work with you to resolve this issue. I can't say enough about my two new colleagues here, and Darren and Scott Wall. I can tell you that we want to find a way to do this in the most cost-effective way for the benefit of our landowners. You people are important to what we're doing. And I apologize for previous boards and previous situations. I've been on the Board of Supervisors for the past 10 years. We have never had an issue like this brought to us to consider doing anything different other than what we have done with the normal repairs and work and the assessments that are brought forth. This board now has been presented some different challenges that require some diligent, necessary, thoughtful deliberation, and I think we have an obligation to do something, well, and we're going to do it.
Yeah, and Wayne's dead on. It's the reason that we're sitting here. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is your district. It is, in every way, shape, or form, it's your district. We happen to be the trustees because from time to time, you're going to have a situation where 13% of the landowners, I'm trying to use your numbers, but 13% of the landowners who are paying 40% of the bill are going to disagree with something else, and there's going to be hard, contentious decisions that have to be made. And the, you know, back in the late 1800s, they decided in all their wisdom, well, who else can make an unpopular decision but three supervisors, and so we get the deal. This is your district, absolutely plain and simple. I said in the last meeting, and I'll say it again, I feel strongly bound by code. I mean, when I raised my hand and I took an oath to uphold the Iowa code as I was sworn in to be supervisor, I took that really, really seriously. Paul read you what the code says. I mean, we're bound by trying to figure out how to make this thing work, working with you to get that done in as cost-effective a way as possible. And I'll go back and I'll say it again. The estimates are exactly that. They're estimates. I think Scott probably does a really, really good job. I didn't know Scott before getting into all this. I think he probably does a really, really good job putting all this together. I think he absolutely knows what he's talking about. That said, it's just an estimate. You guys are going to pay actual cost for whatever work is actually done after it's completed. That's right, isn't it? After it's completed. We don't do anything until all the work's completed, all the bills are submitted.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where it's going to end up if we do something with this. Your district.
Scott Renault could talk to this more, but I think the engineering fees, those are probably a little more set.
Regardless of what we do.
There may be some estimating there, too, but his actual fees.
Right, sure.
Maybe more firm than the estimate than the bid that we get in, because we don't know what the bids will be.
Right.
But Scott can speak to that better than I can.
I believe I saw a hand in the back there, gentlemen.
Yes, sure. I got one question. We're talking 2 miles. There's 5 miles from E18 to the top of that creek with a lot of a pretty good first tile comes into it. What are they going to do for their last 3 miles?
We're talking about up in... Not in Story, or is it not in this drainage district, Scott Wall?
I guess I'm not sure just what area he's talking about.
Could you help us pinpoint where you're referring to? there, perhaps.
You're talking about 3 miles north of this picture, right? As, yeah.
They're up in the top of your map there. It even goes out of your map. Right up in there.
The way the drainage district boundaries are set, that is the limit of this district. So that's as far as we go, to answer your question.
Why are sections 4 and half of section 3 left out of the thing? They are in district 4 and district 11, but they are not in this project.
Do you have the current map?
The lower section 4,
section 5.
Well, the current district map is on the wall over there. But
all except section 4 and half of section 3 are in warrant 11, but they are not in this project.
Correct. Is that map?
The map that Scott Renault has in his engineering plans, and the map that I believe Mr. Hill is referring to, is not the same as the map Darren's looking at now. The map that Darren is looking at is based on the original report of the 1951 reclassification, and it only includes the parcels that show up in that reclassification. The district maps quite often are somewhat general, and the map does indicate, the map that Mr. Hill is referring to does indicate there are more properties in the district than there really are, but the areas that he's talking about are not being assessed, and so they're really not in the district, even though they appear to be in the district map. When there are discrepancies like that, we go with the original report, or in this case, the 1951 reclassification, rather than what the map indicates.
Yeah, I checked with you, Scott, on that section there, and they are not in the district, and that's just how it was established. I can't answer why, but that's how.
Are they in the other district then, or are they left out of everything?
There's a tile district that feeds into Warren 11, and some of those properties are part of both districts. Some of them are only part of that other tile district. Again, I have no explanation for why that was done that way.
And is that one of those things that if we were to go through the process of reclassification that may get addressed? I mean, because then it would be a whole new classification as of 2011 or 2012, and
yes,
we would build off all that.
Yeah. And we have done a reclassification. We've done one reclassification about a year ago in another joint district, and it did bring in additional properties. I don't think it changed the assessment significantly of the people that were already in the district, but it did bring in more people to the district.
Yep. It also goes to what the original plans and how they were drawn up. There are times when there's more ditch and there's more tiles than what the district owns or deals with. So from our standpoint, we're just dealing with the historical portions of the ditch. The tile districts have a little bit different method, because a tile district can enforce a clean out of a ditch so that they have a clear outlet. But the way this district was set up is it ends basically a mile south of the county line, and that's the beginning of the ditch. There may be more ditch there, but it's not part of the original district. I can't explain why I didn't. You know, sometimes Scott Wall can go through the minutes that were done back in the early 1900s and tell me why they did certain things, but other times it's not real clear.
Well, then, in other words, those that's up above there, they don't have to pay anything on this here drainage repair.
That's correct.
That sounds correct.
No one in Hardin County is included. The way to try to include the people in Hardin County would be to do a reclassification, which is, as Scott Renault has indicated, is about a $60,000 item. If we directed the people doing the reclassification to investigate Hardin County's contributions in water to the ditch, then that would enlarge the scope of the area and it would enlarge the cost of that project, of the reclassification project.
Dwayne,
and
I would
may or may not change things again.
Dwayne, I would say is I haven't looked to see. There's probably a Hardin district that it's its own district, is my guess for that part, and they're probably included in their own district. But for some reason, this district stops at the county border.
And that may be we don't have those maps.
How many miles?
Well, I had it called out as,
like, 8 for the whole thing or something?
Yeah, it was originally 8.5 miles, and then this one, this project is a little bit over a mile, but we look at it a different way. Some places I don't clean, we just do certain fixes, so it's broken out a little bit differently, but... It's about 2 miles out of the total thing.
Out of the 8.5.
Right. Two miles or thereabouts. Well, yeah. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Will District 57 be receiving any of the cost benefit for this project?
It's actually shown on the map here.
Yep. Yeah, District 57 is a sub-district of Warren 11. So what happens is it's a tile district, and so if there's work done in 57, it's billed 257 only, but work done in District 11 is billed to District 11 and 57. So if you own land at 57, you're part of two districts.
And that's probably the case as well on here. We see District 54, District 26, even District 34. And if you look at, they should coincide with the map that he has there. Even this are part of that district as well. Based on the map that he has up there, which that's his overall map.
I don't think that 34 is included
or
at all.
34 is not in, I'm sorry.
Or 49. They form the boundaries of 11.
Yep.
Yeah,
they show themselves coming out at the outlet of District 11. And District 49 is well south of the out of that.
District 11 does drop into the adjacent township to the south. I mean, their property is in, I believe it's Richland Township, sections 3 and 4 that receive a small assessment as well.
Yeah, it's just a matter of the ditch as it was originally. Sometimes you can see this on the map. You can see that this is a nice straight line where the district was, and then down here it gets curvilinear. It's still in the district, but it's not part of the ditch that we work on, if that makes sense. And it doesn't always make sense. Again, it's kind of a challenge to just historically rebuild it to what it is, but the way that it gets described, because sometimes I'll call Mr. Wall here and ask him how they describe it so I know where the boundaries are. They usually are fairly specific on where they stop and start. And that's what I try to stop and start on. Now, if there was an issue down farther, the district can take care of it. In other words, if there's a beaver dam even far enough down that it affected the district, can go take that beaver dam out if they wanted.
Okay. Could we come back to the two issues? One of the issues would be whether you feel that we should consider the alternate proposal as presented, as well as the issue of the petition for dissolution. I think those are the two pressing issues on the table for this evening. And I would like to entertain comments from you members regarding those two issues and what your thoughts and concerns are. Yes, please do.
I'm Lauren Chernogle. My son and I farm the ground west of E18, or west of the drainage ditch for a mile there north of E18. We are the ones that turned in this request. After the last meeting, if I could have crawled underneath the table and snuck out the door, I would have probably done it. But we're here, and we've got to go through what we got to go through now, right now. Anyway, this problem we've had is about 6 years old, ever since we've been farming that 80 right next to the blacktop. We've had a loss of between $5,000 and $10,000 each year just from poor drainage from the tile. The tile is, right now is about 1.5 feet below the bottom of the ditch, and whenever there's over a foot of water in a ditch, the tile does not run. The outlet is not on our property, and I would like to thank Steve Lekwa for his cooperation in this matter. We've cut down 3 trees right on top of the tile, and we had Drain Tech out twice to clean out the tile, and finally to come to the conclusion that it was just the silt that was the problem. The drainage ditch is about 12 feet deep, 1/2 mile north of the blacktop, and right by the bridge it's only 5 feet deep, so we've lost everything that we have. I'd like to just make a motion here. Maybe we can get this thing moved on a little bit. Do you want to hand these to the each one of the I, Lauren Chernago, make a motion that we cancel the existing proposal. The acre assessment is not correct, and we need an equal acre assessment. In return for that, we will clean out the silt north of E18 past our plug tile to the bridge. It's just about probably 300 feet or something like that, and it's all on the conservation property. I think we still need to begin work with our legislators to get the law changed on acre assessment. This law is 100 years old and needs to be changed. So I'm going to entertain that as a motion, and if anybody wants to second that, that's fine. If not, that's fine also.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Is there anyone that needs to have this motion restated? Basically, the question that I gather is that we would cancel the existing proposal and work towards looking at the assessment as it currently is as far as equal acre assessment, but the problem would be that the landowner, Mr. Tronico, would be willing to, at his own expense, clean out the silt north of E18 to the plug tile, and that seems to be the proposal that is laid out before us. So I guess I would like to entertain any thoughts, comments from other landowners. What do you see as potentially the problem of doing nothing for the time being, allowing for this basically to take place? I think it's important that Mr. Chernago recognizes, though, that as trustees, we couldn't just say, yeah, you could do that without following the code in terms of what things that would need to be done that were outlined in the earlier presentation. Working with... Right. Right. Folks, what do you think? Would you like me to entertain some formal vote as to how you feel about the proposal that is before us at this time? Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you. Park case that said essentially the state did not pay. And so this bill specifically just addresses the fact that the state does have to pay if they've been assessed by the drainage. So I would hate to hold that up because I think that's an important issue that needs to be addressed. Now there's a chance I could put an amendment on that bill. But I'll tell you that I think chances, the amendment will probably not have much of a chance. Particularly, maybe I could get it done in the House to try to get it to the Senate on this kind of short notice. It's very tough. Supervisor Clinton mentioned that the time period, because of where we're at in the legislative process right now, we've been very close up in the last few days before the last funnel. Very difficult to try and get some major kind of reform. Which is the key because it's been pointed out by some of the engineering folks when I went back and looked at this. This law, as it was originally written, I think it's only been amended one time in the last 100 years. Very unusual. Usually, laws are updated, fairly often, maybe every 5-10 years to get different updated. I think it tells you one or two things. Either the law was written so well that it doesn't need to be changed, or it was people are afraid that they can change the whole thing to fall apart. I think it's probably more like a sacrifice. If we're going to make the change, probably the way it's going to have to be addressed, we do have a lot of meetings in the interim. Before the next legislative session, there's still a lot of people I have to talk to. Some folks in the Senate that I've had time to talk to about this, I'd have to probably get them on board. And so it's something that we'll probably take and probably look at the next legislative session before any changes can be made. And even now, I think it's maybe a little bit difficult because keep in mind these assessments are based on an engineering study. That engineering study may be completely flawed and completely wrong. But if we change it, the change that you guys are proposing would be to just say we're going to eliminate that by the idea of using engineering studies. And everybody, let's say we assess everybody exactly the same, which may be fair, it could be, but you're replacing something that's an engineering study with something that's a little more arbitrary. So, I feel a little difficult, but I'm willing to work on it. I'm going to be having some more discussions with some folks. I'd like to make some changes, but keep in mind too, I've got to convince 149 other people to vote with me to get something passed. So pretty tough to get it done this year. I'm going to work on it and see what we can get done next year. I sure wouldn't hold this up. Just based on what might happen in the next month or so, I don't think there's probably going to be any major change. So I wouldn't look at it that way. I would address the situation for now or put it off. If it's off for a year, you change it just down the district, whatever, that's fine. You do whatever you want there, but I wouldn't count on anything after the legislature in the next month.
Could we hire some lobbyists is that what you usually do in cases like that?
You do have some through the drainage. You do have some.
There are some lobbyists to deal with these issues, and this year is the first year, I'm in my fifth year now in the legislature. This is the first year I've been directly approached about drainage district issues that were basically to make change to the law. You have issues with funding and things like that in different areas and those sorts of things. You can drainage districts, they've got their lobbyists and the counties have their lobbyists, so counties deal with these issues too, and so there's always some possibility about that. The best thing really is to contact your own legislature, which you guys have done. So
I was going to quickly comment. I did find that website. It is iowadrainage.org, and that's got the, like I said, they have a full-time person. I'm pretty sure he does some lobbying for the districts as a whole, so that's your best contact.
The Iowa Drainage Association for the last 35 years that I've been involved in, the Wiggling Drainage Work for Association, has tried to make changes for over 35 years, and the legislature has turned a deaf ear on it. So,
that's about what I've heard.
That association is a good place to start.
Thank you, Representative Deal. Appreciate it. Okay. Okay, now let me. All right. Yes, comment.
You stated earlier that knowing that there's problems with the ditch, you guys are legally required to do something about it. Is what Lauren is proposing enough?
Let me answer this question from not a legal mind, but the vote or the decision that you give us is a direction. We may not be able to say that this is exactly what we will be able to accept based on the recommendation. I would need to run this by, again, our legal counsel and check to make sure that as a board of trustees that we legally could stop all action and do nothing in the interim in consideration of what the landowners are going to work with, while this clearly would indicate he would be working with a county engineer and hiring a contractor and going through all the necessary steps. We as a current trustee would want to make sure that all of those things were in place in order to move forward with any type of repair. And so I don't want to give any illusion that that the answer that we could give you tonight would clearly mean that the board of the trustees would not be empowered to do something, you know, within a week or two as we research this further. But we would certainly not take any action to move forward immediately to further study if the vote was to accept the recommendation. Am I clear in that regard?
I think you're on the right path, but I do think we have the option. As trustees, we can adopt any project we want. Now, I don't think we can adopt the portion of what you present, Lauren, that says you're going to pay for it. I think what we can say as trustees, we can say we're going in and we're doing this part of the project that was identified to us as a landowner and is causing problems, because that's what we do as a drainage district. And then whatever that bill is, $30,000 or whatever it's going to be, I'm sure you've talked to some people, gets assessed across the whole district. But then part of that for me, if we were going to do it, is an understanding in this room that is a temporary, we're doing what we have to do right now, and that's all, and we're going to be right back here again next spring seeing what Representative Dio was able to get done, if anything, with the legislature. I'm telling you right now, we're putting, or I'm going to push really hard for us to put a maintenance program in place for all our drainage ditches, and so you're going to start to see that as well. To me, that's going to give us more of a clue of what's going on. So, Wayne, if you're comfortable with it, I'm comfortable making a motion based on what we have here, and then we can just move forward.
Before we do that, Darren, Scott, any, do you see potentially some problems or issues from our perspective based on what we've heard at this point in time?
What Rick says is the district would do that small project, because if a private landowner does a small project, they want to pay for it themselves, that might be okay. But if you get over $20,000, it has to be let if you want the district to pay for it. So that project's going to have to be let if we're doing it, because it'll probably be over $20,000.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I'm headed now. I agree. This is the part of this is what brought this whole issue forward. We have discovered with this issue being brought forward that we've got bigger problems than that, but we also recognize that there's some major inequities, there's some problems with doing any more. It seems to me as trustees, we have to act on the problem that's been brought forward to us. We've got a mechanism right now, whether it's fair or not, for how that's paid for. It's paid for by the district, and you guys are just all going to get a bill for what the actual cost of this project is. But we start there. That kicks the can down the road. And I completely agree with Scott Renaud. This is not the best solution. The best solution is that we had dealt with it over the last 60 years and we weren't dealing with it now. But the second best solution is go in and do everything at once, because then total project, it's going to be less. But I completely understand impacting all of your pocketbooks dramatically. So I'm trying to find a way for us to fulfill our responsibility as I see it, impact you guys as minimally as possible, and just kick this can down the road for another year and see where we are, even though I would rather not. That's where I am.
I guess I would agree with you. I mean, after all this, after all that we've been through these last 2 months, let's go back and fix the original problem that triggered all this and see where it goes from there.
Now, the other part is we do have some cost already in this thing, and that's going out as well. That's going to be part of this whole thing regardless of what we do. So I'll stop right there and see if there's any more comment, because I want to make sure you guys, if you have anything to say, now is absolutely the time to say it.
One thing, as far as if it gets redoing it next year, in the code 468.126, the requirement of a, if it's over $25,000 or more, an engineer report from the Soil and Water Conservation District conservationist shall be presented at the hearing. The requirement of a report may be waived by the board if a prior report on the repair exists and that report is less than 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do it again next year, we don't need Fox Engineering to do another report.
Well, we would continue to use the report that Fox Engineering has already done. Yeah,
right.
I'm with you.
Right.
Any other comments? And Wayne, I don't mean to
steal. No, you're doing a great job. Yeah, no problem at all. Okay.
All right, seeing none, I move that we as Drainage District Trustees authorize our county engineer to get in and figure out the project that was brought forward to us, and if necessary, do a letting, depending on what you estimate the cost. It's your estimation, right? Your estimation of cost that triggers the letting, is that true or not true?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to get in, you're going to estimate the cost of doing this one project, and the drainage district is going to move ahead with doing this one project, and we're going to take under advisement that we've got other issues in this drainage district. It is something we're going to keep our eyes on. We're going to come in and we're going to do maintenance starting this year at some level. And then we're going to move ahead in future years depending on where things go. But I move this one project.
I'll second that.
Okay. I probably cannot repeat the entire.
Scott, what did you get out of all that? What did you get out of all that?
Well, it's being recorded.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck.
Fix the original problem.
Because I understand it.
But the district is going to, the county engineer is going to work to assess the repair that is needed on the original problem. And the question that wasn't clear is that this is, and it appeared to be clear, that the scope of that cost would be assessed to the district.
Yeah, the entire district, right. Whatever your percentage is, you're going to pay your percentage of whatever this small project is going to cost us.
By this small project, you're referring to Lauren Chernagold's.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? More trustees? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Now, looking back at the other issue regarding the property owners, where are you as far as the petition and the request for dissolution, knowing of the action that we are going to take at this point in time? Yes.
To think about it after this meeting, I'm
sure
the one.
Yep.
we would certainly agree that that would be a proper thing to do. What would be a reasonable time to...
Wayne, I'd say this. We've got a duly enacted motion. We're going to just go ahead and start moving ahead with this project. If you guys as landowners want to stop it, if you want to come forward, you come forward anytime you want. I mean, it you have that right. Like I say, it's your drainage district. We're just going to start moving ahead. I'm sure you've got several weeks worth of work in order to even get to the point that we can get something let, and then there's going to be several more weeks before we can get anything done, I would imagine.
Not necessarily.
I think one of the Lauren's concern was that it get done
right.
sooner rather than later.
I mean, we got to move on this.
We got to move.
But I think the process is rather than basing on an estimate of mine, I'll actually get quotes and see what those come in at, and if they're under $20,000, you can just do it.
Okay. And if it's over $20,000, do we have to have another public hearing?
Then we'll have to move to a letting.
Okay.
So.
And you can just keep shrinking the size of that project till it gets under $20,000.
To get the power running, it wouldn't cost that much. Put it back, get to the original thing would cost, it would be under $20,000.
Okay.
But that isn't very far. That's only just a little bit beyond the Prairie Trail where that tile is at. So it's only 200-300 feet.
So I just ask you to go ahead and get the quotes, and then if the drainage district in total wants to do something, they can do something.
Good. Comment. Okay.
I would make a suggestion, and maybe Jerry can spearhead it with the group. Get a list and addresses of everyone who's the property owner in the district. Organize a meeting, and maybe meet the McCullsburg Legion on a given date, and try to organize that group and trying to work with the Iowa Drainage Association to see what can be done to put together some legislation and move forward in a meaningful way. There are some people in the district who want to take that on as a project. Lauren, you're one affected. The Church of McCullsburg, you know, a whole bunch of you. Call on, you know, do it. And this is the way to get the project going. This is how you get legislation.
Well, and the other thing that I'd caution you all on is this is not a dead issue. I mean, trust me when I tell you. I mean, I take it really, really seriously. And all I'm trying to do here is say, okay, this just came to Dave Dio's attention. It's the first time that he's had you guys. I mean, you guys who have lived in this district your whole life. We haven't really dealt with this yet. Well, we're dealing with it now, and we're just trying to figure out the most expeditious way to do that. So that's all I'm trying to do. So please don't leave here thinking we're done talking about this. I mean, it's going to be something that's out there.
Yes.
I have one question for the board. And this is on the county's behalf of this operating district, or the county's behalf, where this is or where he is, says, you know, there's a problem with next to the road. Is the county going to still continue to take care of that problem, those problems?
Darren, I guess I will yield that comment to you. Obviously, we've got a issue there with the road, and I think it's proper that we.
If there's some areas that need immediate attention, we're going to have to do it. But we had talked about budgeting. Nothing's budgeted right now to do it. So we had talked about once we determined how the district was going to go, we'd figure out how we were going to fund that portion. But right now, it's not funded, so we're just going to have to address individual spots as needed. For
I mean, you're picturing riprap there next to the roads, just keeping it from eating into the road, right?
Right.
So the answer is we've got to do something, but that's outside the scope of the drainage district.
The part David's been talking about is, I mean, most of that's county, or a lot of it's county road, and county problem. I'm just wondering if that was just being put on hold, or if they were still going to continue.
Yeah, and we're mainly just looking at armoring the road with riprap. We're not looking at cleaning ditch or straightening the ditch much, so...
It would be you should do it all at the same time because there's a lot of dirt that on the east side could be pushed over toward the road and then rock put on. It should be done as a dual. I mean,
sure.
The county just fix their part because they can get a lot of dirt from the other side and make it the way it should be.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I think, yes.
You mentioned just dumping riprap.
No, these are just the locations where it's 8 in towards the road, so that it. Yeah, something needs to be done with the ditch too, but like I say, a lot of that's on the other side. That's the district's responsibility, so they both need to be done.
And please understand now, I don't view this one action as precluding us from taking future action as we see fit. If we find out that one of our roads is getting eaten away and we've got to put riprap in, and that's the county's responsibility, but part of it is going in and taking a meander out of the stream, we're going to be sitting right back here because we can't let our roads get taken completely out. So please don't take this one action as meaning we're not going to do anything else down the road. We just put the full scope of the project on hold for now. We're going to deal with the issues that we have to deal with as we go.
True.
I mean, I think in some ways we've made this thing a lot harder than it needs to be, understandably. I mean, nobody likes a $744,000 bill, so it's understandable that we made it harder, but we've made this project now much harder and much more time intensive than it would be if we were just going in and doing the whole thing. But that's where we are.
Okay. Are there any additional comments?
I want to thank everybody for coming out. I want to thank you for
absolutely
your time. This is the way it's supposed to work. Thank you for the nice demeanor that was here tonight. It's not always easy to do it that way. Thank you.
You bet. You bet.
Motion to adjourn.
You bet. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Then second. Moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned.
Well done, but it was, yeah, I don't know.